Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth. We're listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Thursday on this 17th day of October 2019. And today we have both a first-time guest and a returning guest to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. For the first hour, we have, for the very first time on this program, Stephen Hamilton, who is a conference speaker and pastor of Lehigh Valley Free Presbyterian Church in Allentown, Pennsylvania. And he's going to be addressing challenging the claim of celibate homosexual Christianity. And then, coming up in the second hour, we will be joined by Brad Zell, author of The Legacy of Billy Graham, The Accommodation of Truth to Error in the Evangelical Church. And he is going to be addressing the theme, God is Love, the Most Misunderstood, Misused, Twisted, and Falsified Truth in Religion. We're also going to be talking about the 78th Annual Convention of the American Council of Christian Churches, held right here in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, at Faith Chapel next week, where both of my guests will be speaking. But first of all, it's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor Stephen Hamilton.
Thank you, Chris. It's good to be with you this afternoon.
Excuse me. And can you, if you could, Pastor Hamilton, as we typically do, give our listeners a brief description of the Lehigh Valley Free Presbyterian Church in Allentown, Pennsylvania.
Well, our church, which is actually located north of Allentown now, in a little town called Walnut Court, is a conservative, evangelical, reformed, I would even say fundamental church. We're part of a wider denomination called the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. As you can probably tell by my accent, I'm not a native of this country, though I've lived here now for almost 21 years. I grew up in Northern Ireland, and I was part of the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, well known and probably best known for its long-standing moderator, Dr. N.R.K. Paisley. So our church is a Bible-believing, gospel-preaching church.
Yes, I have known of your denomination for a long time. In fact, a friend of mine who was pastoring at one time for a number of years in Malvern, Pennsylvania, who is now back in Ulster, Northern Ireland, at the Ballymena Free Presbyterian Church, John Greer, not only a friend, but also a former client. He had a radio program on a station where I worked for 15 years.
Right.
And he also was a part of a program that I created called The Voice of Sovereign Grace, and which featured different ministers from different churches. And John, on top of that, preached at a major conference at the church where I was once a member, Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island, located in Merrick, New York. Very soon after that church came into being, after a merger between two Reformed Baptist churches, John spoke at one of our first conferences that we had there. And it has always been a blessing, not only knowing him and sharing fellowship with him, But hearing him preach, he is one of the most powerful preachers I've ever heard, and I miss him being here in the United States when I had easier access to him.
Right. Well, I know John particularly well. We are good friends. Under God, the Lord used John Greer in my coming to this country. Our church is actually a church plant of his congregation in Malvern. Prior to that, when John was in Northern Ireland and I was in Northern Ireland, he was pastor of a congregation in County Tyrone in Six Mile Cross. He was, for a while, though he's not that much older than me, I hasten to add, he was my Greek professor in our theological hall. And then when he moved to the United States, I visited him and his family probably about seven times over the years until eventually the Lord used him and the opportunity that was created through his ministry, actually on the radio in this area in Lehigh Valley, to have me to move across. The Lord used that in getting me here. And so about a year after I came, the Lord called him back to Northern Ireland, which was particularly painful for me, being so close, about 60 miles away. I was so looking forward to the ongoing fellowship that we would have, but wasn't to be. But we're still friends. We're still in touch. Maybe not as much as we were, but we're still very much in touch and aware of what's going on in each other's work.
Praise God. And if you could, we have a tradition here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio where first-time guests give a summary of their own salvation testimony, including the religious atmosphere in which they were born and raised, if any, and how the Sovereign Lord raised up providential circumstances in your life that drew you to himself and saved you.
Well, I have a testimony that may be very common with others who were converted in a similar set of circumstances. I came to know Christ as a child. I know that there are many who have professed salvation in childhood who have subsequently discovered that their profession was not genuine. However, many who have been converted in childhood have gone on with the Lord and have proved over the course of time that their conversion was indeed real. I would be one of those. I was brought up in a Christian home. My parents were converted just a very few years before I was born. And my dad and my mother were very active church members in a church that I later went on to pastor. Very strange account in itself. The Mount Marion Free Presbyterian Church in Belfast, just a few miles from the Martyrs Memorial Church. It was planted in one of the first planted churches over there in 1951. My parents came into the church in 1958, I believe it was, and then I was born in 1959. I was brought up in that congregation. Not only was I taught the Word of God at home, we had family devotions, we had children's meetings that I attended several nights per week. I was in church all day on the Lord's Day. Sunday morning Sunday school, Sunday morning church, Sunday afternoon Sunday school, Sunday evening church. So to say that I was cradled in the gospel would be an understatement. It was really, really part of the warp and woof of our whole existence and our lives. But I was always taught from the earliest time that I needed to have a personal experience of God's salvation, that I could not get to heaven because of my parents, because of what the Lord had done in their lives, or even in the lives of my elders, siblings, my sisters, who professed faith. I must come to know Christ personally. And it was as a child that I did seek the Lord, and I know that through the years there have been many times when I have doubted that and had gone back again to, if you like, seek the Lord afresh. And if I wasn't saved that time, that I wanted to now be saved. And I think that's a common experience that young people converted in childhood have, because obviously in many cases, such as mine, there's no remembrance actually of the time or the date. There's no real sharp memory of coming to Christ. However, I to learn through the years, and I still believe this, that the important that there must, yes, be a time when you come to Christ. There must be a moment of regeneration. There must be a time when we seek the Lord. However, what am I trusting in?
By the way, Pastor Stephen, you're really starting to break up and cutting out, or I don't know if you're moving your face away from the mouthpiece of the phone.
Okay, I'm not sure what's going on. It could be the connection here. I'm not sure. It's kind of windy today in Pennsylvania. Anyway, as I was saying there, I hope you got most of that. I believe that those who often doubt their salvation because of the fact that they were so young when they came to the Lord, must come to the place that I was brought to ask the question of yourself, what am I trusting in to get me to heaven? If I were to stand, and I know this is a kind of a fairy tale type of way of looking at heaven, people talk about going to the heavenly gates and being asked a question, usually it's by St. Peter. I don't believe any of that, of course. But if someone were to ask me at heaven, why should you gain entrance to heaven? My simple answer would be, Jesus Christ died for me. I'm trusting in the finished work of Christ. I'm trusting in the blood atonement of Christ. When he took my sins and my sorrows and he made them his very own, and he bore that burden to Calvary where he suffered and died alone, to quote a hymn. And that's my testimony. So I've had many periods in my life, in my adult life, when I've thought, I wonder, did I get saved when I was, say, 6 years old? I wonder if I really was saved when I was 10 years old, or was it that time when I was 11 or 12 when I was convicted of sin? As far as I'm concerned, it doesn't matter. It certainly is something that's known to God, but even if it's not known to me, I'm not trusting in a prayer that I prayed. I'm not trusting in a decision that I made. I'm not trusting in this or that circumstance. I'm trusting in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is all my hope, and he is all my trust. And so that's my simple testimony, and I thank the Lord for his hand upon my life. And I have a desire to serve him, have had that for many, many years, and I'm glad to be a Christian.
Praise God. By the way, I don't know if you are using a speakerphone or something, but for some reason the connection is not that good as it was when you first greeted me before we went on the air. I'm not sure what happened.
Okay. Well, I haven't touched anything. I haven't done anything, so I really can't answer that.
Okay. Well, we'll just have to pray that the Lord improves the connection that we have. One thing that I failed to mention that might be an area of interest or surprise to our listeners is that I happen to know that the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its mother church, the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, are one of the few, if not the only, that I am aware of, Presbyterian denominations that allows ministers to be either Baptistic in their understanding of the ordinance of baptism, credo baptism as it's sometimes called, or believer only baptism by immersion, or paedo Baptists, and that the word Presbyterian in the name of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America is mainly in regard, or even exclusively in regard, to the church polity. It does not involve the ordinances, which you are permitted to have both types of ministers in your congregations. Am I right?
That's correct, yes. That has been the policy that was in place from the very beginning of the denomination on March 17, 1951, in Northern Ireland. It has carried over here into the Gawler denomination, which now is separate but joined to coin a phrase. It's a separate denomination in that we have our own presbytery and so on, but we have full fraternal relations with the Mother Church. But that policy, while it seems novel to many, and we've been criticized from both ends of the spectrum, if you like, because of it, many Baptists really are not happy with the fact that we could have among us paedo-baptists. And of course, on the other hand, those who are strongly paedo-baptists really are almost, how could I put it, they're certainly not happy with the fact that we would encourage men, elders, ministers, to be credo-baptists. It's not that novel, because way back in Wales, I believe in the mid-1700s, there was a denomination there, the Welsh Calvinistic Church, and they practiced, it is my understanding, an open policy on baptism. And so perhaps it's not as novel as people might imagine.
Yeah, that's interesting that you said that, because my friend who is now in eternity with Christ, Peter Jeffrey, he is from Port Talbot, Wales.
Yes.
And he pastored a church that was actually previously pastored by Martin Lloyd Jones. It was the it was the first church that Martin Lloyd Jones pastored. And Sandfields was the name of the church. And they had the same policy. So it's interesting that you mentioned that Welsh connection.
Yes, and I've enjoyed Peter Jeffrey's many books and booklets. Greatly profited from those. And actually, there's a book that was written. It may even be an autobiography, but it's certainly a book concerning the life of a great woman of God, and it's called Memories of Sam Fields, and it's actually, I think, Mrs. Lloyd-Jones.
Yes, and in fact, I had the rare privilege of having Peter Jeffrey visit with my mother on her deathbed when he was during one of his visits to the United States. He spent a half hour alone with my mother. My mother had been Roman Catholic her whole life, but she did have, thanks be to the Lord, a conversion while on her deathbed 6 weeks prior to entering into eternity. And although I was very confident in her profession, I still had some fear and trepidation.
Yes.
And Peter Jeffrey emerged from her sick room, and he said to me, "I don't know what you're worried about. Your mother's going to heaven. She's born again."
Well, you know, it's wonderful to hear that. You know, deathbed repentances are often mocked. I have to say, I don't know exclusively, but it seems like a lot in reform circles. But I'm always minded of what Matthew Henry said, that there's only one deathbed repentance recorded in Scripture, clearly, and that's the dying thief. And so he said, there's only one lest any should presume upon God's grace. He said, but there is one lest any should despair of God's grace.
Amen.
I think that's wonderful.
Amen. Well, I'm going to give our listeners our email address in the event that they would like to join us on the air with a question. Our topic again today is challenging the claim of celibate homosexual Christianity. And our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And also remember, folks, Brad Zell is joining us the second hour of the program, and he is going to be discussing God is Love, the most misunderstood, misused, twisted, and falsified truth in religion. This is a subject that is one that very often evokes anger from people, even from some that profess to be Christians, because they think what we are doing is an exercise in hate and an exercise in self-righteousness and an exercise in bigotry. But isn't it true that if you truly believe in the inerrancy of the Bible, you believe that everything that is taught in the Bible is actually being taught by God himself? It's God-breathed.
Yes.
That we are not exercising or expressing or demonstrating love towards someone if we are making them comfortable in an activity or even a thought life that will send them to hell without repentance. I mean, how is that loving, if you believe this to be true, that homosexuality is among many damning sins? In fact, any sin that doesn't have the covering of Christ's blood will send one to hell. But it's just remarkable to me that that there are people, even though we may treat homosexuals or those involved in that activity with love and compassion, just because we have this very strongly held, unwavering belief, theological view, they will call it hate. And this is not the truth at all, is it?
No, it isn't. And I am minded of the words of the apostle himself, the apostle Paul, has had quite a bit to say about this subject. Read Romans chapter 1, read his comments in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. The apostle Paul said on one occasion, "Am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" I would contend, as you've just stated, that a person's best friend is the one who will tell him the truth. And I don't think anyone who would be asleep in a burning house would feel that it was an unloving action on behalf of a neighbor to come and raise the alarm as loudly as they possibly could, banging on the door, doing whatever it would take to arouse and to awaken that person from their slumber, because they're in immortal danger. They're in danger, certainly in life, of perishing in a fire, but those who are in spiritual peril, it's a much worse situation that they're in. So speaking the truth does not mean that we are absent or that we're lacking in love, because, again, the Apostle Paul in Ephesians made that very statement about speaking the truth in love. And there's no doubt that there have been those among God's people who have spoken the truth, but not in love. They've maybe spoken the truth in anger, or they appear to come across as very judgmental and condemnatory. But the fact of the matter is, there's that which God in his word has stated clearly, and God condemns sin, and it must be upheld, and it must be spoken, and it must be spoken as firmly as we can speak it, but in love. And again, to say things that we say, even if we say them passionately, is not to suggest that we're saying those things in a lack of love or in hatred. Nothing could be further from the truth as far as I'm concerned on this issue. I want to see people delivered from all sin, including this one, and the range of sins that belong in that category.
Now, there are people who profess to be Christian who are filled with hate. The obvious, notorious group that may spring to the mind of many people is the Westboro Baptist Church, which I would consider a cult.
Yes.
They are known as the God Hates Fags group, and there are many other people that they claim God hates in their rhetoric. And, of course, God does hate sin, but they demonstrate no love because they offer no call to repentance to homosexuals. They believe that God has given up on them, that they are impossible, or it is impossible for homosexuals to repent and convert to Christianity and lay aside this wicked lifestyle. So therefore, they merely show up whenever they know homosexuals will be present with a joyful proclamation that they are going to hell. And they take great delight in this. And of course, even we would believe that left to his own will, it is impossible for a homosexual to repent and come to Christ. But that's the beauty of sovereign grace, is that God gives us a new heart and makes us willing, those who are his own. So we do have a message of hope and a gospel to proclaim to them. But the specific theme that we are addressing today is challenging the claim of celibate homosexual Christianity. And this is something that has really, to my understanding, especially in conservative, evangelical, and reformed circles, has just arisen up and reared its ugly head in the not-so-distant past. The Catholic Church has had this position for quite a long time, where they will permit men who confess that they are homosexuals into the priesthood as long as they take a vow of chastity. They don't think that there is something gravely serious about the desire itself. They think it has to be manifest in a physical action before it becomes very serious, which
right.
I think the Bible does not teach that. It even condemns the burning in one's heart for someone of your own gender. This is something that has become accepted amongst many today who profess to be conservative, Bible-believing Christians, who even confess and profess that homosexuality is a damnable sin, but they seem to share the aberrant understanding with the Roman Catholics that having this as a proclivity in your mind and a burning desire in your heart, for some reason, doesn't seem that very terribly wrong. Am I right on that? As far as that is their claim, of course, I'm not agreeing with that point.
Of course. Well, obviously, there is this claim now, which is a fairly recent phenomenon, as I understand it, of homosexual celibate Christianity. The idea that someone could be of a homosexual orientation, or a gay orientation, as they would put it, but at the same time, understanding what the Bible says about homosexual relations, same-sex relationships, realizing that the Bible condemns those things, will say, okay, well, we can't be involved, for example, in gay marriage, we can't be involved in same-sex sexual activity, but we can be Christians, and we can follow hard after the Lord, and we can make with those of our same gender spiritual friendships, which are rather, it's a rather strange notion that you can be emotionally engaged with a person in a same-sex relationship, but abstaining from any sort of sexual activity. Now, there are extremes within the gay Christianity orbit, if I can use that term. I don't like actually conceding the word gay to these people, because the fact is that the Bible, and certainly in the Authorized Version, uses the word gay. For example, in James chapter 2, where it's referring to one's clothing, and the word in Old English had a completely different connotation to what it has now. But if we even concede that word to them, gay Christianity, there are some who have no problem claiming that practicing sodomites, those who are engaged in same-sex activity, can at the same time be Christians. But then on the other end of the spectrum, there are some, and this is where the professed evangelicals would come in, who are, I think, feeling pressure from what we might call worldly trendsetters, who have adopted the position that homosexual desire can be, in some sense, normal. It's something perfectly natural and normal to a person, to certain people. And while homosexual acts are sinful, they will concede, yet a homosexual orientation is not inherently sinful. And even within that homosexual celibate Christianity grouping, there are divergent views, both of which are equally wrong and dangerous. And I'm not sure if you have heard of the Revoice conference.
Yes, I've had several guests who have critiqued that and opposed it, yeah.
Right, so you have those people, and they are coming at this from a certain perspective. It's an ecumenical, thoroughly ecumenical grouping. It includes Roman Catholics. It includes people who have no regard whatsoever for the inerrancy of Scripture. But then on the other hand, there are voices even within professed evangelicalism, even fundamentalism, I guess, who are giving credence to the idea of gay Christianity.
Even from fundamentalism?
Yes, sir.
And wow.
I'm going to now reference a conference that took place just this year in February 2019 at Bob Jones University. It was called the CORE Conference on Gender, Sexuality, and the Church. One of the speakers, Tim Geiger of Harvest USA, based in Philadelphia, was interviewed by Dr. Sam Horn of BJU. The interview, which is entitled Ministering to Those with Sexual and Gender Struggles, is actually available in video and transcript form on the BJU Today website. And I have to say, it's a very revealing, some might even say shocking, interview. I'll just give you a couple of quotes. Tim Geiger was giving his own testimony to Sam Horn, and this is what he said, and I quote, "I came to Harvest USA myself back in 1997 as a young man who had been struggling with same-sex attraction for about 20 years. One of the things that complicated that struggle was that I was a Christian all during that time." Now, if I could just stop there, that presents me with a huge problem, which is that it's not consistent with biblical teaching of repentance. Whenever you look at what Paul said about this issue, and I realize he wasn't just referring to those sins, but he certainly included them in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he said, "And such were some of you."
Right.
He didn't say such are some of you, he said such were some of you. So the idea that someone could be in homosexual relationships with a multiplicity of men, that's something that he admitted to, during a period of 20 years, and all of that time is professing to be a true Christian. I'm afraid I have to take issue with that.
In fact, we have to go to our first station break right now, and we're going to come right back with the second half of our interview. If anybody else would like to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. In a subject like this, I could readily understand why it would lend itself to those having personal and private questions. So that's chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please, though, only be anonymous if it is a personal and private question. If it's a general question on biblical doctrine regarding this subject, please at least give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors. Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Got to tell you, for my money, Chris Arnzen's radio program is just the best.
Iron. Criticizing Iron.
I think that's what it's called. This is Todd Friel of Wretched Radio and TV with Phil Johnson of Grace to You, inviting everybody to come to the G3 conference, which has almost instantly become one of the best conferences in the country.
And it is. It's a great conference. I love it. And Chris Arnzen was there last year. He's been there, I think, every year. It's great to see him there. You and I actually did some recordings in the lobby at that place, which is a highlight.
Tons of stuff going on.
Yeah.
Tons of great speakers. And no matter where you are in the building, you will hear Chris Arnzen's laugh. And that's worth the price of admission alone. If you would like to join Phil, me, Chris, and a cavalcade of great preachers, so it should be a cavalcade of great preachers, and me, G3Conference.com, G3Conference.com.
And now there's even more exciting news. John MacArthur himself is now also on the lineup at the G3 Conference, Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th, 2020. Go to G3Conference.com, G3Conference.com. See you there.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. The church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Baptism and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Welcome back. We are interviewing for the first half of the program today Stephen Hamilton, a pastor of Lehigh Valley Free Presbyterian Church, formerly in Allentown, Pennsylvania. Where did you say the new city was?
It's north of Allentown. It is called Walnut Port. It's just a small town about 20 minutes north of Allentown.
Okay, Walnut Port.
Correct.
And we are discussing challenging the claim of celibate homosexual Christianity. And one thing occurred to me when I was surprised when you said that even in some fundamentalist circles there exists this idea of people who have genuinely born again for decades, perhaps, and nonetheless are constantly in a lust struggle for people of the same gender, it occurred to me that although there are among fundamentalists thoroughgoing Calvinists such as you and I are, there are those that I believe are teaching something very seriously and dangerously wrong. And you kind of hinted at it in the beginning about something that you reject, the idea that somebody could claim with certainty that they are a Christian just because they recited a prayer at some point. And it seems that fundamentalism is divided over that. You have many amongst the fundamentalists who are Romans Road advocates, if you will, who believe that you shouldn't even question that somebody is born again if they admit that they're a sinner, admit that they need Christ as a savior, and so on, and they are told, you are born again, and if you have any doubts in your mind, it's just the devil trying to trick you or whatever. But not all fundamentalists agree with that. And is that the reason you think that this understanding that homosexual Christians are a actual real people group, do you think that that's why that exists amongst some who are fundamentalists?
Well, I'm not sure why it is that people would take that view. I don't necessarily think that it would come down to an Arminian or Calvinistic understanding of salvation necessarily, but that may come into it. But I want to be fair here to Bob Jones University. I'm not suggesting that they are in the camp of Revoice or that they are supporters of the idea of homosexual celibate Christianity. I want to make that clear. However, that conference and the video which is available and the transcript which accompanies it leaves me with great problems, because the guest who was speaking, Tim Geiger, and I'm not sure what his own theological position is, he was seemingly criticizing the church generally for its approach to people who are same-sex attracted, and that the church has not done a good job in ministering to people like that. But he goes further, and let me just give you another quote. He says, I think two things the church can do. One is to invite sexual strugglers, people who struggle with same-sex attraction, to come out of the darkness and into the light by saying, this church is a safe place to struggle openly. We want you not to hide your struggle for fear of judgment. We want you to come into the light and struggle well, unquote. Now, the one word that's missing there is repentance. He didn't say we want to speak to people who have same-sex attraction to repent of that sin, but talking about struggling well, whatever that means. And then he says this, which is even more egregious in my opinion, quote, I'm not saying that gay or trans people can't be Christians. And then he says, I think that as you grow in maturity as a Christian, you have to let go of those identities because they're not consistent with the way that God has created and redeemed you, unquote. So basically, Geiger, in that interview with Sam Horn, was stating that to identify as a gay Christian is inconsistent with Christianity, but yet it is possible to be a gay or trans Christian. Well, I'd like to know what the difference is between those. He also mentioned that he felt that it was important to engage people who are of a different view, those who are arguing that this is the way God intended for it to happen. We need to equip the church to have a voice in these discussions. And the most important thing that the church can do is to try to build relationships, mutual trust and mutual respect, so that when you have an apologetic dialogue about what Scripture says, talking about mutually respectful dialogue with those who believe in gay Christianity presumably means that we could engage those who are in the Revoice conference orbit and, you know, have a discussion about these things. So I really have a big, big problem with that whole concept that people could be, quote, gay or even trans. He's talking about transgender people and saying that they can't be Christians. Well, if they're engaged in that activity, and they're identifying in that way, I would say unequivocally they're not Christians, and they need to repent of that sin.
We have an anonymous listener who asks, why is it that it is impossible for someone to be a homosexual Christian while heterosexual Christians battle with lusts for the opposite sex, possibly their entire lives? What would be the difference? And when I say a homosexual Christian, I'm not speaking of somebody actively involved physically in that sin, but somebody who battles lust over the same-sex attraction in the same way that a heterosexual battles lusts with the opposite sex.
Well, first of all, I have an issue with someone identifying themselves as, you know, having a homosexual or gay sexual orientation.
Like it's an organic thing.
The fact of the matter is that God created them male and female. God never created homosexuality. God created people for what we call heterosexual relations. When you go to Romans chapter 1, the Word of God makes it absolutely clear that what was taking place in these activities is unnatural. It's against nature. That's the very terminology that Paul uses. Even in the book of Jude, it speaks of those in Sodom going after strange flesh. So we're talking about two different things entirely. Now, the fact is, people can struggle with all kinds of sin. That's obvious. But what we're dealing with here is the idea that someone can identify as a homosexual, claiming as, for example, Gregory Coles, the author of a book, Single Gay Christian, A Personal Journey of Faith and Sexual Identity, he claims that I'm gay. In fact, he repeats this over and over again, I'm gay, I'm gay, I'm gay. And actually in the book, blames God for his same-sex desires and will certainly say that he wants to obey the word of God and follow Christ and not be involved in homosexual activity. But he also believes that the blood of Jesus leaves him in his homosexual desires, and he believes that it is good. That's based upon a poem that he has written in the book, where he ends by saying that the blood of Jesus makes all that he is good. Now, to me that's an assault upon the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ will cleanse you from homosexuality, not leave you in it. So, with all due respect to the listener, yes, people can struggle with sin, but I don't know of anyone who's going to identify as an adulterous Christian. I don't know of anyone who would say, I am a pornography Christian. I don't know of anyone who's going to say, you know, in any way, shape, or form, that my life is going to be defined by a sin. And that's what we're talking about here, with this mindset that I can be a, quote, gay Christian. The term gay itself has been invented by those in, you know, the homosexual orbit. Those who are in that activity, they're the ones who coined that actual description. And then to add to that, gay Christian, it's a misnomer. It's an oxymoron, actually, to say that you're a gay Christian.
Yes, and one thing that these folks seem to fail to remember is that there is something uniquely wrong and uniquely in rebellion against the plan and design of God's creation when it comes to homosexuality, in that it is not only evil, as heterosexual sin outside of marriage is, heterosexual sexual sin, but unlike heterosexual sexual sin, homosexuality is unnatural.
Correct. Well, the fact of the matter is, you know, you and I both believe that the least sin will damn a soul. The least sin that is unforgiven will take a person to hell. No doubt about that. But the idea that homosexual activity, and you could include even bestiality, you could include other forms of sexual deviance, that somehow these are just sins among sins. I'm always reminded of what happened in the book of Ezekiel, where there were those who were taken in and shown certain abominations. And then the Lord said to them, come with me, and I will show you greater abominations than these. And this is in keeping with the great confessions of faith as well as the scripture. All sins are not equally heinous in the sight of God. There are some sins that frankly are worse than others. And there's no doubt that homosexuality fits into that category because, as I've already mentioned, Romans chapter 1 uses a number of descriptions of the sin. Men with men, men burning in their lust toward other men, men leaving the natural use of the woman and burning in their lust one toward another. The Bible talks about it in terms of vile affection. It talks about it in terms of that which is against nature. So all of these would certainly make us to conclude that homosexuality is an unnatural behavior. And for someone to say that they're a homosexual Christian but celibate, how can you divorce the sexual element from that? Because this is another thing that we could go into, and we probably don't have time to. Some have even referenced David and Jonathan in Scripture.
Right, I've heard that.
Trying to say that is sort of a template for a celibate same-sex relationship. And I believe that to be verging on blasphemy.
Well, one thing that actually goes over the line of blasphemy big time is the view by some homosexual activists and theologians that the disciple and apostle John and Jesus Christ had this kind of a relationship. That's why John reclined on Jesus' breast and so on.
Yes, and again, they wouldn't necessarily claim, some would, but they wouldn't, some of them necessarily claim that there was a sexual element to that. But it's in the same, it really means the same thing, because what they're trying to say is that this fits into queer culture, that this is the kind of thing that's a template, if you like, for same-sex relationships, that it is endorsed in some way, that it is somehow given credence by what the Lord did in relation to the disciples. But if you get back to David and Jonathan were both men who had children. You know, Jonathan's son was Mephibosheth, but David had wives and he had children. The idea that somehow there was this kind of a relationship that allows for a modern-day person to say, oh, I'm just the same as David, or I'm just the same as Jonathan in my relationship with this other person, is really almost beyond the pale, I think, when it comes to using the scripture in a wrong way. It's so egregious, I think. But I think there's another element to some of this that we could really touch on that I think is important, and that is gay Christianity is being supported by anecdotal evidence and subjective testimony, which is being allowed to trump the Word of God. You have people saying, well, this is who I am. This is how I am. This is my experience. And then, we're being told that the church needs to listen to the stories of same-sex attracted believers and then formulate their opinions as a church by taking into account these very real testimonials. But the fact is that there are many other testimonials that present a really different perspective on that issue. And there are people who have been genuinely converted from homosexuality. They've been saved by the grace of God. They've been washed in the blood of Christ. And they certainly are not people who would now want to trumpet some claim to being a homosexual Christian or a gay Christian. They've repented of this and repudiated that lifestyle.
And we are out of time, brother. I know that you could only be on with us for the first hour. We have to go to our midway break now. Can you quickly give any contact information that you care to share for the Free Presbyterian Church congregation where you pastor in Walnut Port, Pennsylvania.
Yes, my congregation is located in 233, that's 233 Main Street, Walnut Port, Pennsylvania. My own email address, if you wish to have that, is REVSHAMIL. It looks like Rev Shamil at Verizon.net. So that's REVSHAMIL at Verizon.net. And then there's a church website, which not just for my own congregation, but the denomination, and it is www.freepres.org. So that's FREEPRES.org.
Well, thank you so much, brother. I look forward to meeting you face-to-face next week at the conference in Carlisle, Amen. Pennsylvania, and I'll be giving our listeners more details about that towards the end of the show.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
Thank you, too. God bless. Well, folks, don't go away. We're going to our midway break right now. It's the longer than normal break. Be patient with us because Grace Life Radio in Lake City, Florida requires a longer break so that they can air their own public service announcements to localize our show to Lake City, Florida, a requirement of the FCC. So please be patient. We're going to be back with our second guest, Brad Zell, right after these messages from our sponsors. So don't go away. When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White of the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Grove Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com, that's nasbible.com, to place your order.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, host of A Visit to the Pastor's Study, and I am so thankful to be part of the advertising family right here on Iron Sharpens Iron. If you live on Long Island, or if you're visiting the metropolitan New York area, I invite you to join us for worship at The Haven on Sundays at 4:30 p.m. We meet at the Ascension Lutheran Church facility, 33 Bayshore Road in Deer Park, New York. The Haven, you'll find God-saturated singing, gospel-rich ministry, and great commission opportunities. Learn more about us at thehavenli.com and join us this Sunday at 4:30 p.m., 33 Bayshore Road, Deer Park, New York.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World Now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio,
and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, and my friend Chris Arnson and I are excited to be attending another G3 conference together in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th, on a theme that is vitally important to all of us, Worship Matters. I'll be on the speaking lineup with Eric Thomas, Joel Beakey, Paul Washer, Steve Lawson, Phil Johnson, Tom Askell, Vody Balcom, and the world-renowned preacher, teacher, and author John MacArthur. A fascinating new addition to the roster is Costi Hinn, nephew of the notorious false teacher Benny Hinn. Costi has repented of the word faith heresies of his youth and is now a Reformed Baptist pastor and cessationist in California. Come join me and Chris Arnson at G3 2020, January 16th through the 18th in Atlanta by registering at g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. See you there.
I'm so grateful to our sovereign God that while manning an exhibitor's booth for Iron Sharpens Iron, a major Bible conference, I providentially met Pastor Andrew Smith of Christ Reformed Community Church, just south of Jacksonville, Florida, right off I-95 in St. Johns County. Andrew is certainly the kind of pastor that is a perfect match for my radio show and has already proven to be an ideal guest. Christ Reformed Community Church shares my conviction that God is both creator and sustainer of the universe. He rules and reigns providentially over our lives. He directs not only the historical events of the world, but also the personal events of individuals. I agree with Christ Reformed Community Church that the very purpose of the church is to make disciples, that we are tasked with the responsibility to evangelize locally, nationally, and globally, and that we are to equip the saints for the work of service. Unlike the man-centered, seeker-sensitive movement, they do not gauge the success of biblical discipleship by how many people are in a church, but by the faithful ministry of God's Word and Gospel. For more details on Christ Reformed Community Church, visit ChristReformedCC.com. That's ChristReformedCC.com. Or call 904-955-9881. That's 904-955-9881. Tell Pastor Andrew that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
I'm Pastor Andrew Smith, and I'd like to urge you to consider joining Christ Reformed Community Church of St. John's, Florida, in financially supporting Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Did you know that all believers are priests? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Apostle Peter describes Christ's church as comprising a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So if you're a Christian, you're also a priest. Now you can find the newest styles in Reformed and Protestant apparel at citizenpriest.com. Citizenpriest.com specializes in Christian-themed t-shirts and clothing especially for Reformed Christians. Citizenpriest.com's merchandise is purposefully scripture-based and meant for the edification of the saints and the furtherance of the gospel. Let everyone know that you stand firm on the doctrines of the Reformed faith by wearing apparel from citizenpriest.com. Visit citizenpriest.com today.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible.
Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnson@gmail.com. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to ptlbiblerebinding.com. That's ptlbiblerebinding.com.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. Before we launch into our second half of today's show with Brad Zell, our second guest today, who is going to be discussing God is Love, which is a very misunderstood and misused and twisted and falsified truth in religion. Before we go into that discussion, we have some important announcements tonight to make regarding special events that we hope that you will attend. The first of which, I will be there in attendance, God willing, The American Council of Christian Churches is having their 2019 convention at Faith Chapel in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. And two of the many guest speakers that they have on their roster are the first guest that you heard today, Pastor Stephen Hamilton, and also our second guest, which we will be introducing momentarily, Brad Zell. They are both on the roster, and many more speakers are on the roster. And we hope that you attend this conference if you are able to travel to Carlisle, Pennsylvania. That's next week. The exact dates of this conference, I will get to you momentarily. But it is actually Tuesday through Thursday of next week. Tuesday through Thursday of next week. And the theme of the conference that they are going to be addressing, well, all with different subtitles underneath this main heading, is Biblical Fundamentalism Pursuing Purity. Biblical Fundamentalism Pursuing Purity. If you want more information on that conference and want to join me there, you can go to ACCC4truth.org. That's ACCC4truth.org. And then when you get to that website, all you need to do is click events, and that will come up right there in the top of the event list. So I hope that you will join me there next Tuesday through Thursday. Then, coming up in December, at the beginning of next month, we have a conference of the Long Island Spurgeon Fellowship. And that is being held at the Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York. I will be there as well. That is going to be held November 1st and November 2nd at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, Coram, Long Island, New York, on the theme, The Doctrines of Grace. And some of the topics include God's sovereignty, total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, perseverance of the saints, is Calvinism biblical, and a question-and-answer roundtable with the audience. There are a number of local pastors on Long Island who will be speaking at this conference, and I can personally vouch that all of the men speaking are excellent. If you would love to join me there, I would love to see you there. Go to reformedrookie.com, reformedrookie.com, or you can go to hopereformedli.net, hopereformedli.net. And you could also call area code 631-696-5711, 631-696-5711. Then after that, in December, I am going to be packing up my bags again and heading to my old stomping grounds in New York City for the Foundations Conference, a conference of sermonaudio.com. That's Thursday and Friday, December 19th and 20th. The speakers include Dr. Stephen J. Lawson, Paul Washer, Reverend Jeff Thomas, Reverend Armin Tomasian, Richard Caldwell Jr., and Andrew Quigley. This is a conference for men in ministry leadership only. They can only seat less than 200 people, so therefore they have restricted attendance to men in ministry leadership. So if you want to join me there, go to thefoundationsconference.com, thefoundationsconference.com. That's Thursday and Friday, December 19th and 20th, right in the heart of the Christmas season. And there's no better place, in my opinion, to be spending at least a good portion of the Christmas season than in New York City. And that's where I'll be December 19th and 20th at the Foundations Conference in Manhattan. TheFoundationsConference.com, TheFoundationsConference.com. Then coming up in January 16th through the 18th, which is a Thursday through Saturday, I am going to be packing up my bags again and heading down south, this time to Atlanta, Georgia, more specifically College Park, Georgia, a suburb of Atlanta, to the Georgia International Convention Center, right near the airport in Atlanta. And this is a monumental event every year for me, the G3 Conference. Stands for Gospel, Grace, and Glory. They have the largest roster of speakers I've ever seen at any conference, and all of them are superb. The theme is Worship Matters, and the speakers include, once again, Dr. Stephen J. Lawson, They include Dr. James R. White of Alpha Omega Ministries. They include Phil Johnson, Executive Director of John MacArthur's Ministry, Grace to You. Todd Friel of Wretched TV and Wretched Radio. Derek Thomas, the world-renowned Presbyterian author, conference speaker, and pastor. Tom Askell, the Executive Director of Founders Ministries, the Calvinistic ministry within the Southern Baptist Convention. Stephen J. Nichols, the President of Reformation Bible College, the college founded by the late R.C. Sproul and Ligonier Ministries. Costi Hinn, the nephew of the notorious heretic and charlatan Benny Hinn, who has renounced the heresies of his uncle and renounced the Word of Faith heresies and has become a cessationist and a Reformed Baptist pastor. He is now pastoring in Arizona. And there are many more, including the latest addition to the conference lineup, John MacArthur himself. I'm so excited about this conference, and I'll be manning an exhibitor's booth there. I hope you join me there at the G3 Conference. Go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com. I strongly urge you, if you have a business, a parachurch ministry, or anything else that you want to promote to a very large number of Christians, then I would strongly urge you to register for an exhibitor's booth in addition to registering to attend. So I have been manning an exhibitor's booth there so far 3 years, and this January will be my fourth year manning an exhibitor's booth at the G3 Conference, and it's always a monumental, phenomenal, mind-blowing experience and a very beneficial and fruit-bearing experience for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So I hope you join me there with an exhibitor's booth, too, if it applies to you. Go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com. They have over 5,000 people there every year, and this year with John MacArthur added, I think they're going to have over 6,000 people. So if you want to register for an exhibitor's booth, do so quickly before they run out of room. They're going to run out of room for that a lot faster than they will run out of room for seats, because it's a very large place, the Georgia International Convention Center. But register for both if the booth applies to you. And last but not least, if you love the show and you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. A handful of very generous and faithful and loyal listeners in my audience have come to the rescue and have donated enough for us to get by for the month of October. Thanks be to God for your generosity. I am so grateful to you and so grateful to God for you. But it seems that the number of people that donate to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has dwindled. So I'm asking any of you who have never donated before, please, we urgently need your donations to get through November and December. Those of you who have not donated in a while, please consider donating to us again. And go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card. You can also mail in a check to the address that appears on the screen by going to ironsharpensironradio.com and clicking support. If you prefer snail mail, the checks are made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And never siphon money away from your regular giving to your local church in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and never put your family in financial jeopardy in order to give Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Those two things are commands of God. Providing for my show is not a command of God. But if you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to provide for your church and home, then please also consider providing for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio with your gifts. Please give as frequently as you can and as generously as you can if you are blessed above and beyond your ability to obey the two commands of providing for church and family. Please always remember, if you want to advertise with us, send us an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. As long as whatever it is you are promoting is compatible with what we believe, we would love to have you join us on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And with an advertising campaign, we urgently need your advertising dollars. And also, if you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church and you aren't even prayerfully looking for one, I urge you to please rectify that situation immediately. And I ask of you to send me an email, chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, because I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the world and I could possibly help you find a church near where you live, no matter where that may be. I've already helped quite a number of listeners in our audience find churches all over the world, whether they have joined them personally as members or whether they have visited them on vacation or whether they have referred them to family, friends, and loved ones who do not have church homes. Please consider doing that so I can help you find a church. And please remember that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, once again, needs your donations very urgently. So please join us benevolent donor or as an advertiser as soon as you can. We are now being joined by our guest, Brad Zell. As I said earlier, Brad Zell, he is a returning guest to this show. He is the author of The Legacy of Billy Graham, The Accommodation of Truth to Error in the Evangelical Church, and an elder of the Bible Presbyterian Church of Charlotte, North Carolina, president of the International Council of Christian Churches, and of the Independent Board of Presbyterian Foreign Missions, an editor of Redeeming the Time magazine. Today we are addressing, for the second hour of this program, God is Love, the Most Misunderstood, Misused, Twisted, and Falsified Truth in Religion. And we're also going to be, once again, announcing the 78th Annual Convention of the American Council of Christian Churches at Faith Chapel in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, on the theme, Biblical Fundamentalism, Pursuing Purity, where our guest, Brad K. Zell, is on the roster. It's an honor and privilege to welcome you back, Brad Zell.
Both good to be with you again, Chris.
And if you could, Brad, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about this conference coming up next week, Tuesday through Thursday, at the Faith Chapel in Carlisle, Pennsylvania.
Yes, the American Council of Christian Churches is meeting in Carlisle, and the ACCC was founded in 1941, and this is the 78th annual convention. This is a council of Bible-believing Methodists, Baptists, Presbyterian, Bible churches, and other denominations who maintain their denominational beliefs, and they don't compromise on that at all, but yet they realize that the body of Christ is much larger than any single church or denomination.
Yes, it's refreshing to see such biblical ecumenism amongst those who profess to be fundamentalists.
Yes.
And I stress the word biblical. They do not believe in being unevenly yoked with unbelievers in fellowship or in worship services or anything like that. As long as one is a true believer in the gospel of Jesus Christ and believes in the pillars of the faith, then they would welcome them into fellowship. And again, that is next Tuesday through Thursday here in Carlisle, Pennsylvania at Faith Chapel. Can you tell us specifically about your theme that you will be speaking on?
Yes, at this convention, there will be a number of Bible messages, but in the afternoon, they have some breakout sessions on how our fathers ministered, including a number of fundamentalists from the 20th century who have gone to be with the Lord. And the one that I have been assigned is Dr. Carl McIntyre, who was the first president of the International Council of Christian Churches.
Great. And there are, as I said, many other speakers on the roster there that have different messages that they are delivering under the subcategory of the main theme, Biblical Fundamentalism Pursuing Purity. So we'll repeat that website at the end of the program. Right now we are discussing the theme, God is Love, the Most Misunderstood, Misused, Twisted, and Falsified Truth in Religion. Do you think that I have overstated that?
No, I don't. I just the other night on the news, I heard someone that was talking about the new homosexual agenda, and well, God is love, so that we shouldn't have anything against this. And this is applied to many things that the Bible is against, and we thank the Lord for the love that he had for our souls, and we are to love one another and to love our brethren. But Christ tells us that if ye love me, keep my commandments.
Amen. And this idea of God as love is typically hurled at anyone who is trying to defend or minimize the seriousness of wicked, God-dishonoring activity that God himself has clearly said in his word are activities and even beliefs that will send one to hell if they are not repented of, and if the blood of Christ is not covering that individual through faith in that shed blood on Calvary. These are people who are typically trying to paint a caricature of Christians as just being bigoted and hateful people who are self-righteous, who think that they are better than anybody else, who don't recognize sin in their own lives, and they just like to pick on others. If somebody is truly born again, and I'm not saying that there are not many professing Christians, and I stress professing, but even some genuine Christians that sin in that area of being proud and not evangelizing in a humble and compassionate and loving fashion, that these people do exist. But if somebody is truly born again and obeying the scriptures in evangelism, the way that they will truly love those involved in sin is by calling upon them to repent, is it not?
That's for sure. And every one of us is a sinner who the Bible says that the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And that includes you and me. And so we all need to be saved by the blood of Christ and the salvation which the Lord offers to us. So none of us is better and can puff ourselves up. It's like the Pharisees and say, I thank thee that I am not as other men. Yes, the call to repentance is at the very heart of the gospel. We are told to repent in many places, and so that is something that we must insist on when we present the gospel.
Well, if you could go to the scriptures and speak on specifically the issue of God being love and the context from which the scriptures are addressing that very issue.
Yes. Well, the International Council of Christian Churches is meeting in Puerto Montt, Chile from January 22nd to 29th, 2020, and the theme of the conference is God is Love from 1 John chapter 4. And it's quite interesting. This is one of the main passages in the scripture about God. Love, and verses 7, 8, 9, 10, and on is where the phrase God is love is found. But yet, when you look at the first six or seven verses of the chapter, it says, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And then we get down to a little later, and it talks of that we need to discern the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And so that is the background. And then at the very next verse, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And so the love of God is always in the context of obedience and faithfulness to his word.
Yes, nobody, even the most left-wing of parents, would believe that it is a loving parenting, a loving way of parenting, to allow your children to anything at all that they want to do. Obviously, the world is becoming so corrupt that there are parents that are not far from that. There are parents who are allowing their children to pick their gender as if that were possible. But at the same time, even most liberals, or leftists, I should say, would not say that a child should be able to do anything he wants to do. A child should be able to play in the middle of the street. A child should be able to play with electrical outlets. And of course, a leftist would never say their children, when they grow to be 18, have the freedom to vote Republican. So there are standards that parents typically have, and things that they give liberty for their children to participate in, and things that they prohibit. So it's amazing that one would think that God would be somehow different.
Yes, and we see all through the scriptures where we are told not just what love is, but what it is not. Paul in Romans 12, verse 9, tells us to let love be without dissimulation. It has to be genuine. It can't be phony. And then he says, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. And so here in the context of love, we are to abhor and hate that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. And Amos tells us, hate the evil and love the good. And so this contrast is found all through the scriptures.
Yes, and we are Calvinists, and I don't speak on behalf of all of the speakers at the upcoming conference in Carlisle, Pennsylvania at Faith Chapel. Some of them, I believe at least two, are evangelical Methodists, so they would disagree with us on this. But Calvinists, I believe, being one myself, have the most biblical understanding on the love of God, because we do not believe that God loves every individual, at least in the same way. God may have a general love of creation, including the reprobate, but he does not love the reprobate. He does not love those going to hell in the same way that he loves his own elect, his own children. In fact, I think, not only unbiblical and heretical, but nonsensical to believe that God loves those who will be spending an eternity in torment in the same exact way that he loves his children who will be spending an eternity with him in indescribable joy and peace in heaven. It makes no sense that those two different categories of humanity would be loved in the same way by God. Obviously, he loves his elect, his own children, as a parent, and he also, in the person of Jesus Christ, loves us as his bride, which he does not have that love for those who are the reprobate. Am I off base here?
No, not at all. Incidentally, there's a number of the evangelical Methodists that are Calvinists.
Oh, okay. I know that Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones was I don't know if he was a evangelical Methodist in regard to the denomination, but he was a Calvinist Methodist.
Yes, and the Whitfieldian Methodists are quite prominent. But Romans chapter 9 really opened my eyes when I was a teenager. God says, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. And doth not the potter have power over the clay to make one unto honor and one unto dishonor? And then, who art thou, O man, to reply against God? And most of the arguments I've heard against the doctrines of grace are from a human fairness standard. Well, how could that be fair? And I once heard a minister when he was preaching, and he said, the amazing thing is, Jacob have I loved, not Esau have I hated.
Yeah, that he would love any of us.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, well, do you think also that one of the things that is misunderstood about God being love is that they will take that true statement and perhaps even go into more detail and say the very truthful declaration that God is the purest and most perfect expression of love. But the thing that they seem to fail to remember is that he is not only love. Would I be right in that?
Yes, and I believe that God is his attributes. You know, God is love, and there's no comparable expression of love than what God has given. And we must take what the Bible says, that God is a holy and just God, primarily. And I believe it's in Isaiah where it says that he loves righteousness and justice. And so we have to look at the whole situation of the fact that God is a just and a holy God, and his standard cannot be violated, and we're in no way able of ourselves to meet his standard.
Now, how would you respond to somebody who says, what real harm can be done if you have an exaggerated or not thoroughly biblical understanding of God being love? They are on the side that perhaps is more prone to turn a blind eye and a deaf ear away from the sinful activities of others, and perhaps even themselves, not even at times even recognizing some of the ways they think and behave are damning themselves. But what are some of the reasons why this is such an important issue, that we have to understand rightly the fact that God is love, and not misuse that and not twist it?
Well, God is not permissive of our sin. He's a God of great love and mercy and long suffering, but there's no way that we can go to heaven except for the atonement provided by Jesus Christ. Our theme verse in Chile is 1 John 4:10, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave his Son to be the propitiation for our sin." And so he loved us, but Christ had to pay the sacrifice for the expiation of our sin.
And of course, that precious and beautiful word that you used, that very deep theological term that many people have never heard, because sadly that it's never uttered from the pulpits of the churches where they attend or are members. Propitiation, is that not the very fact that Jesus Christ, the perfect man and being the God-man on Calvary, he turned away the wrath of God that is deserved by each and every one of us humans, and took it upon himself, that great exchange that took place on the cross, where our sins were imputed to Christ, and his righteousness has been imputed to us. And when I say our and us, I'm talking about his people, because one of the beauties of the Reformed faith, going back to Calvinism, is that we know that this is a perfect and complete act on the cross, a perfect act of redemption that he provided, and therefore everyone for whom Christ died will have Christ's righteousness imputed to them, and everyone for whom Christ died will have their sins, or should I say, had their sins imputed to Christ on the cross.
Yes, and that is correct. As Calvinists, we believe that Christ died for the elect. Some of our
Arminian brothers would have us think that he died for everyone and he's pleading for them to accept, but that's not what the Bible teaches, that salvation is of the Lord, and we were dead in trespasses and sins, and it was the work of his spirit that authored regeneration and faith in our hearts.
Well, we have to go to our final break right now. It'll be a much briefer break, a much more brief break than the last one. But please, if you intend to send in the question to chrisarnson@gmail.com for our guest Brad Zell on God is Love, please do so quickly because we're rapidly running out of time. It's chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. We'll be right back after these messages with more Brad Zell.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. I also want to congratulate Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram for the recent appointment of Pastor Rich Jensen's co-elder, Pastor Christopher McDowell. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens, Jr. of the Church of Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them, Chris Arnson, on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com, that's nasbible.com, to place your order.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi,
I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402. Or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnson@gmail.com. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com.
I'm Dr. Terry Kimbrell, pastor of Bethlehem Baptist Church in Laurel, Mississippi. God tells us in James 1:27 that pure and undefiled religion is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. In the providence of God, 3 years ago, I discovered a poor, small church outside Lusaka, Zambia, in a township called Cabanana, who are taking care of 24 orphans. I found them just at the time when they had lost all their funding. What was I to do? Could I just say, God bless you, and walk away? The situation of the children sat heavily upon me. As I was praying concerning this need, it came to me, I trust from the Lord, to tell the orphans' plight to a broader audience. The entire need for their clothing, food, education, and some medical services is $73 per month per child. If just 50 of us would give $35 a month, we could meet the need. Bethlehem Baptist Church will pay the fee to get the funds there. So if you give a dollar will get to the orphans. In this season of hope and giving, will you consider giving hope to 24 orphans? Please send your gift of any amount to Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 39443. Or donate through our website, bbclaurel.com. Again, the address is Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 39443, or bbclaurel.com. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Listening to Christian radio can be a big gamble spiritually. Even many of the major Christian networks that include excellent biblically faithful teachers on their lineup sadly often also include the worst of doctrinally dangerous heretics. If you are a lover of the doctrines of sovereign grace, you need not fear listening 24 hours a day to firstloveradio.org. They feature Christ-centered programming from Reformed pastors and teachers you can rely upon for theological soundness and biblical faithfulness, such as Dr. W.R. Downing, Dr. Peter Masters, Pastor Joe Jackowitz, Pastor Robert Gifford, Al Martin, Edward Del Cor, and more. FirstLoveRadio.org also live streams my Iron Sharpens Iron radio program daily. Please stick around on FirstLoveRadio.org after Iron Sharpens Iron radio is over to continue being blessed by the unwavering proclamation of the gospel of sovereign grace. Spread the word about FirstLoveRadio.org. Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen, and we have 5 minutes left to share with Brad Zell on God is Love, the most misunderstood, misused, twisted, and falsified truth in religion. And Brad, I would like you to, before we take a listener question or two, I want you to summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners about this very important topic of God is Love.
Well, I believe that we should not take it lightly. We are to love our Christian brothers. We are to be concerned for them, and their needs should be our needs. And we should in no way not care about our fellow believers. But we also must do that which is according to the Word of God. It's interesting that 2 John and 3 John, he writes to the ones he's writing to, whom I love in the truth. And he tied that. If I may, I would like to point out that there's a whole issue in the church world on the issue of love. The International Council that we've been speaking of, their theme is from 1 John 4. The World Council of Churches, which is the liberal apostate council of churches, its theme for this coming Congress is that Christ's love calls the world to reconciliation, and this is a message not of the gospel that they have. They present Christ's love as being here on this earth. The General Secretary of the World Council wrote that may God motivate and guide us in our planning and work in anticipation of the coming unity of humankind by kingdom come. And so they call for a new world economic architecture. They call for universal health care. And many things they call for are good things, but they've replaced the gospel, the true gospel of love, with a false gospel that cannot save. And many of our people are in churches that are in the World Council.
Well, we have time for one final question from Susan Margaret in Dauphin County, Pennsylvania. When we present the truth of God in love, and when we declare that God is love, do you think that we who believe in the biblical truth that God also demonstrates wrath, that we should be presenting these things with not only firmness, but also compassion, and adding to our words good deeds, even to those who despise our message?
Yes. Christ tells us that we're to love our enemies and to do good to those who despitefully use us. And so we should give the gospel in a compassionate, kind way. But we also must recognize that God does exhibit wrath. And I think it's Hebrews 10 that Jonathan Edwards took his passage for his famous sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And so we must balance all of those aspects.
Well, if anybody listening wants to attend the conference where Brad Zell and our first guest, Steve Hamilton, and a number of other speakers are on the roster. That's the American Council of Christian Churches convention that they are having, the 2019 convention, next Tuesday through Thursday at the Faith Chapel in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They have to go to accc4truth.org, and that's the number 4. And then all you need to do is click on events, and you will find all the details that you need. Brad, do you have any contact information that you'd like to share for yourself?
Well, you can take a look at our magazine at RTT, for Redeeming the Time, publications at bellsouth.net.
That's an email address.
Yeah, that's our, I'm sorry. It's www.rttpublications.org.
Great. Well, I want to thank you again, Brad. I look forward to seeing you, in fact, meeting you for the first time face-to-face.
Yes, I look forward to that.
And I hope that everybody always remembers for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.
Amen.